AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. We've got new highs in corn and soybeans to talk about. We tried to trade higher, but finished mixed. The cattle complex was under pressure, but hogs got their groove back with a solid recovery from last week's losses.
Live from Jive Turkeyvember via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we begin with a conversation with Jim Bauer from Bauer Trading. In the final segment, Kerry Artek from Artek Advisory. And right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
I thought maybe it went dead there for a second. Just a moment. How you doing, buddy? Everything looking good?
I was just being theatrical. Jive Turkeyvember marches on, brother. It's supposed to be warm, supposed to be sunshiny. We already did the Easter egg roll, and now it's just darn cold outside. Well, I don't know what to make of it.
'Tis better to be along Highway 20 than Highway 80 today.
This is what I hear, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little icky. It's a little icky down in western Iowa along I-80. Just be careful out there if you're traveling. There's a little bit of ice. There's a little bit of snow. There's some rain in eastern Iowa. And it's one of those deals that it looks like it's going to track on over and pay a visit to Big Apple Joe Stackler in northern Indiana here before it's all said and done.
I don't know that Joe would welcome that. Maybe. I don't know. He might not mind it.
You know, it's one of those things. How do you stop the weather? It's hard to do.
I don't think you really do. You just hunker down, you know. You get yourself some cocoa. You get out your bunny slippers, if that's your thing, and you just settle in.
I tell you, it does feel a little bit like the wintry weather around here, and because down in the bunker, I don't know what it is. I don't know how this happens like it does, but the smell from the crock pot in the kitchen must be pumped directly into the bunker because there's a roast in there right now that is just calling my name.
Last I knew, you were running short of lumber for the old stove there. Did you wind up doing a little wood chopping, did you? Did you go a little lumberjacking?
I am cleaning up the pile and making sure that it all gets used. That's a fact right there.
Every sliver, every chunk of bark, it's going in.
Yep, I'm trying not to cut anymore. Not this year. I've had enough. All right, man, let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Chip, export inspections of wheat in the week ended April 15 totaled nearly 614,000 metric tons. That topped trade expectations, but failed to provide much lift for wheat prices. Traders are also focused on this week's potential for record cold temperatures in hard red winter wheat country as far south as West Texas. Scattered fields from southern Kansas into the Texas panhandle are thought to be at risk to freeze damage, but most of the crop is expected to slide by with little more than burnt vegetation. July hard red winter wheat, 2.5 cents higher, 6.18¾. July soft red slipped a penny and a quarter, 6.53¾. September spring wheat, 0.25 cents higher, 6.76¾.
Yeah. Michael Clark, BAMWX.com, on the first hour of AgriTalk this morning. Yeah, I mean, he just went straight to it. Said, no, we're going to be seeing some record temperatures, record low temperatures in the central belt and central plains over the next 48 hours. So heads up over there. It's something that everybody's keeping a real close eye on.
Corn export inspections of 1.525 million metric tons in the week ended April 18 were in line with pre-report trade expectations. The gain on the year-ago pace expanded to 83.8%. USDA is estimating a 50.4% year-to-year jump in corn exports. Adding fundamental support to corn prices is increasing stress on the Brazilian corn crop. Nearly half the crop is experiencing some moisture stress. The low range open and mid range close in May futures should help build upside momentum. December corn posted a quarter penny upside gap on the open, slipped back to fill the gap, then rallied to a new contract high and contract high close. May corn futures 6.5 cents higher, 5.92. July corn jumped 6.75, 5.80.5. Dece corn 5.20.25 on the close. That's up 8 cents today.
Yeah, the tight supply situation here in the States is putting an extra focus on the Brazilian Safrinha corn crop. And we'll talk with Jim about that coming up here next.
Bean loadings last week totaled nearly 184,000 metric tons, which actually lined up with trade expectations. Yeah. Today's rally in soybean meal provided spillover support to old crop beans. May beans stopped short of a full test of the contract high at 1460, but did post a contract high close, pointing momentum solidly higher. November beans posted a new contract high and a contract close. Tight domestic supplies of beans are supporting bean basis, which is sending a bullish signal to futures. May bean futures 16.5 cents higher, 1449.75. July beans up 14 cents, 1436.5. November bean futures closed at 1284. That's up 10 cents today.
Very impressive moves. It really feels like we've got the upside momentum back in this bean market with the way that the meal traded today. We've had some washout of the long oil short meal spreads. It feels solid again.
Well, May cotton was 45 points lower today, 83.62. December cotton slipped 3 ticks, 82.50. I don't know. We're right on the borderline here. Should we go to Jack?
Go ahead. Yep.
Let's go to Jack. Should we? No?
Okay.
All right. I got June. Yep. What? Nope. Yeah. What? Me?
No. No.
Me?
Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Full of indecision here.
You're not alone, Jack. Well, not alone.
Hey, the buyers didn't hesitate today in that bean market, or really the corn market, Jack. They came right in. They knew what they were going to do.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was very impressive, and it was, you know, really new crop corn leading the way, even before the beans got going. So definitely worried about the cold weather coming into parts of the Midwest, even though I don't think that we'll get a whole lot of crop. It will push planting back a couple weeks. And I think very worried about the Safrinha down in Brazil, because that comes due, that's supposed to be harvested and starting in August. So September would be the first delivery month.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that cold, you go back to the, about this time last month, and boy, the expectation was that we were going to get this running start to the planting season, Jack, and we've lost that. We're going to be looking at basically getting in. We're going to get planted because we just don't have the rain in the forecast. But those cool temps are going to push our plantings back a little bit here. There's no question about it. Hey, nice recovery in the hog market today, Jack. Last week's late week sell-off, just a bit of profit-taking?
Well, we did start to turn the trends down. So there was some liquidation selling. A lot of it was profit-taking, but for whatever reason, some long liquidation selling from the funds. But, great recovery today. I think fundamentally, from what I can tell, the pork market remains very strong. So does the beef market, for that matter, even though the cattle are higher. And that implies demand. And when we're in a demand rally, we are going to get takedowns like we just went through.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Jack. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, great.
All right, Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group, bringing some perspective to what happened in the markets today. When we come back, Jim Bauer, Bauer Trading, right here on AgriTalk. Each year, there are billions of bushels of corn out there just waiting to solve the world's most pressing issues, like climate change. Demand fluctuates. Exports are unreliable. So how do we use all that corn right here at home to change the world? POET is working hard to ensure reliable domestic demand for ever-increasing corn yields.
Not only is the need for clean bio products made from your crops continuing to increase, nationwide adoption of E15 is also on the horizon. This would increase the amount of bioethanol in the nation's fuel supply from 10 to 15%, resulting in a market of almost 2 billion bushels of new corn demand each year. That's 2 billion really good reasons to support biofuels. It's time for farmers and policymakers to unify around E15. Bioethanol is the key to successful agriculture, and successful agriculture can change the world. Learn more at poet.com/ag.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Dallaro Complete. Keep your operation moving forward with Dallaro Complete from Bayer.
Welcome back to AgriTalk.
I was just going to say. Oh, sorry. Just going to say how much I hate it when they talk over each other on the stupid radio shows, and then they laugh about it.
give me the livestock news so we can get to Bauer here.
Gains in meal and corn prices weighed on feeder cattle futures, while live cattle futures ignored recent strength in boxed beef and cash cattle. June live cattle 57.5 lower, 118.60. October cattle dipped a quarter to 122.25. May feeders fell $1.25 to 142.47.5. And on the snout side, last week's profit taking in hog futures turned into a buying opportunity for lean hog traders today. May lean hogs jumped 3.17.5 to 105.65. June hogs gained $2.62.5 to 104.32.5. Conspicuously, the music is missing. Just one of the ripple effects from the technology bomb that fell on our beloved radio program.
Well, I hope that's not a permanent loss.
Actually, they wore out the button from the recent market volatility.
Oh,
I got
no.
a new one on order. Yeah.
Crazy.
New
okay,
button.
Good. Good, yeah. good, good. All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Jim Bauer, Bauer Trading. How are you, Jim? It's good to talk with you again.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey.
Good to talk to me again or good for me?
Well, either way, man.
I'll let you think about that a little bit.
You can take it either way, and I'll take it either way. So, yeah, man.
We'll both come out losers.
So, how are you? Everything okay? What are you watching?
Well, soybeans, like everybody else, of course, I've been in that market for many years. I've seen about every scenario you can think of, both good and bad. But today was a special day, I thought, in the soybean complex, because basically it seemed to want to be the leader all the time. If you remember the last time I was on, about a month ago, mm-hmm. I mentioned that the market was absolutely screaming at us, trying to get us to grow more soybeans and less other competitive goods and food. So today is the day where you saw the front months lead to back, and we also had some carry through with some of these basis levels in the cash market. On Friday afternoon, there was some plus 70 in Minnesota, plus 75s in Illinois, plus 90s in western Iowa, and plus 120 in Kansas City. So obviously the commercials are looking at this market pretty aggressively. And that may not be over with for a while. We absolutely must have enough acreage that we can survive some degree of a yield loss, because if we go into summer and we have a problem and don't have the acreage, the whole market's in trouble.
Yeah. So what's got this bean basis as riled up as it is? I mean, the easy answer is demand and farmers not being willing to open up the bin door and move anything that is left out there. But is there a surge in demand that I haven't seen yet? What's happening?
I think that's exactly what it is. I think we've got a hint of surge in demand almost constantly. I've said from the very beginning of the year, the locomotive that China is at the rear end of the train, pushing with the U.S. train and the locomotive on the front end, the combined effect is pretty powerful. And they can haul a big load. And this market acts to me like it wants to haul a big load, led by cooperation, probably more so than we think, between the Chinese and us on procurement because they have to have it. I think their supplies are relatively, well, possibly very low.
Yeah. And when you look at the way that that economy seems to be recovering from the pandemic lows in 2020, Jim, China, I mean, we're going to have a nice recovery year on year, but China's recovery is fantastic.
China's growth rate in the first 3 months of this year was 18.3% of the same time period a year ago, 18.3% first three quarters. That's pretty powerful. That's a pretty dynamic situation. So it may not be perfect. It may be off a little bit. We can be led to probably not get the whole picture, but the feel of the market is the global economy is probably now led by China, seem to be working pretty proficiently, and things are moving. The other thing about on the beans today, I was getting quite a few reports of expanded bean acreage seemingly coming into form in the Delta and Northern Delta. And that's the first I've heard of that. So that's possibly one of the areas where we're going to pick up some additional acreage that the soybean market really needs.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that going to, is cotton going to give it up? Do you think that's what's going on there?
That's kind of what I'm hinting at here. I think they realize how profitable these soybeans are. And if you can get them in the ground and get them up and off to a good start, and you've got basis levels like this, you can trade out of some of the old crop beans on the basis and maybe buy them back new crop as a strategy. But you got to be careful with it, of course. But there's going to be some unusual price movements over the next 2 to 3 months, particularly in soybeans.
Okay. You know, that strength in the basis, the bean basis out west, Jim, and you mentioned a couple of locations up in the northwest area that feeds beans into the PNW for shipment to China. That's, to me, it's more evidence that we can talk about China canceling corn, canceling soybeans that they purchased for the current marketing year. But all indications are that the commercials and the grain exporters are gearing up for China to take delivery of those purchases, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. There's no signs yet or hints yet that they're going to not cooperate. They know they have to feed their people. That's been a cardinal rule for them for the last century. They can't get by with leadership in the government without the people being satisfied with their food supply. And that's just the way it is. And we've learned that kind of the hard way over a period of time. But you've heard me say 100 times, do what China does, not what they say.
Yep.
And they've procured a lot of product at a much lower level.
Right, right. Okay. So we've got all that going on with the demand for corn, and then we've got some issues with the Safrinha corn crop. How serious are things down in Brazil?
The latest that I have is, basically, for all practical purposes, two-thirds of the Safrinha corn belt has got some degree of dryness, particularly in Paraná, Goiás, and Mato Grosso do Sul. Those are the key areas that are really suffering. And I don't, unless they change this weather forecast pretty soon, it looked to me like we have about another 2 to 3 weeks of pretty dry, hot weather there. Of course, it's coming at a very poor time for their reproduction period, so that's an ongoing story, and I think that's what led the corn market higher today. It wasn't the action in the soybeans that pushed corn higher. Corn was operating, in my opinion, by itself on that Safrinha corn crop news.
Mm-hmm. The way I'm a little surprised that we saw the bull spreads work in beans, but the bear spreads worked in corn today. And the reason that I say that is because I was convinced that it was the Safrinha issue, which would be more bullish the old crop than it would be the new crop. But the way the market traded today, I wonder if it isn't the idea that we are moving some acres around. Maybe not in the middle of the country, but on those edges like you're talking about, Jim, that we are mixing things up. From what we got in the prospective planting report, does that make sense?
Yes, and I think, barring this snowfall event we've got, which is a little different, I think from what I can feel today, listening to the guys out in the field and calling in and chatting you know, what's going on, I thought they were, a great percentage of them said things were going well, the ground was working well. Uh-huh. Of course, ground temperature is a lot to be desired, but that can change over time relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. But again, today, you're absolutely right. It was a little different type of day, throwing out some different signals, tries to confuse you. But in general, once we get past this snowfall event, I think things will improve. You will be amazed at how fast this crop goes in the ground.
Yeah. It feels like we are setting up for something like that. And I was out driving around eastern Iowa a bit yesterday, and there was some dust flying, like you're talking about, Jim. Some guys were getting some anhydrous down. I saw a few tanks going up and down the road, so there is some supply out there someplace. So that's going to hold on to those corn acres. But coming up 380 yesterday, I had just checked the forecast again, and they're talking about some snow today and lows in the mid to low 20s and everything. And I'm thinking, well, nobody's going to be out there planting. And sure enough, there was a planter rolling into some corn stubble. So I know he's out there planting beans. So they're going to get out and get things done. We're talking to Jim Bauer, Bauer Trading. When we come back, I've got my weather question to ask Jim. How much anxiety is there over the 2021 growing season? It's time for Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing today. Chinese feed grain and pork imports soared in the first quarter, like Jim and I were just talking about. Roughly 10% of the wheat put up for auction sold at the latest Chinese reserve auction. Just 10%. That's not much. Russian wheat exports slowed by the tariffs. Ukraine caps sun oil exports. Biden's climate summit. The U.S. will host a two-day virtual leaders summit on climate on April 22nd through the 23rd. The White House push of the infrastructure and tax plan continues. U.S. jobs growth is expected to trail economic growth in the coming months. Fauci predicts Johnson & Johnson vaccine will return this week in some manner or form. Give ProFarmer a try at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Cold wind is blowing again right now.
Howling.
Davis.
Howling.
Howling.
Yeah.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. That's Davis. We're talking with
Hello.
Jim Bauer today. Before we get back to Jim, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Chip, July, hard red winter wheat, 2.5 cents higher, 6.18¾. September spring wheat, 0.25 cent higher, 6.76¾. May corn futures, 6.5 cents higher, 5.92. December corn closed at 5.20¼, up 8 cents on the day. May soybean futures, 16.5 cents higher, 14.49¾. November bean futures closed at 12.48, up an even dime today. May cotton, 45 points lower, 83.62. Livestocks, June live cattle, 57.5 lower, 118.60. May feeders down 125 to 142.47½. And May lean hogs scampered 3.17½ higher to 105.65. That's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. We're talking to Jim Bauer, Bauer Trading today. Jim, during the break, I'm thinking, we were talking about what China did in the first quarter and their imports of meat, their imports of feed grains, of oil seeds from the U.S., that 18.3% GDP. And then when you look at what's happening in the U.S., and it some areas off and running. Other areas, a sputtering restart to the economy. And I just wonder, in China, when Xi Jinping says, listen, guys, everything's fine, get back to normal, the people do it. Here in the U.S., it's more a question of consumer confidence. And with the stumble in the J&J vaccine and everything, Jim, where do we stand on that rebuilding of the consumer confidence here?
Well, that's a difficult question. It would take some thought and some time to really figure out the true answer to that. But as a side note, in unison with your comment, every morning I get on I-65, and let me tell you, from Chicago to Indianapolis, the most dangerous race is not the Indianapolis 500. It's 8 o'clock in the morning on I-65. I've never seen anything even close to being like it. I mean, semis rolling at 90 miles an hour down to a construction zone, just full bore, truck after truck, warehouse after warehouse after warehouse after warehouse, all brand new. I think what's happened, Chip, I think we're changing our society. We're changing the way we sell things or buy things. We're changing the logistics of everyday living. And it's something that's it's happening almost overnight. And it changes the opportunities that we see from employment. It seems to me we're going back to more of the trades led by pipe fitters, plumbers, electricians, cement workers, truck drivers, on and on and on. People need skills, and we kind of got away from that in this country for about a half a century. But I like I say, every morning and evening, I see the change.
That's interesting. That's an interesting observation that the whole thing might, we're just changing the way that we live, and we've changed. And it's absolutely, I mean, how are you going to argue? I don't ever see a time, Jim, when we go back to brick and mortar shopping like we were pre-pandemic. I just don't anticipate that's going to happen. I wonder how that changes up our food buying habits.
Well, I'm sure the universities and ag universities have made some studies on that, and they probably would be a good source to see if we could answer that question in its entirety. But again, yeah. I think that the big element to look for is, how does the market respond to the news? That's kind of a cardinal rule of trading. Well, it's the same as investing or employment or anything. How does the market act to what we do, not what we say? Yeah. And that's been an ongoing thing, particularly over the last several years. Obviously, the media has tremendous power and can change the perception of a lot of different things, whether it's climate, employment, production, education, and so forth. But we certainly are in a state of change that you're sensing and I'm sensing. Yeah. And it's not easy to accept sometimes. Some of it is just downright dangerous.
Yeah,
but it's happening, and it's not. You're right. It's not going to go back the way it was.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about this upcoming growing season a little bit more. We've talked acres. We've talked about getting started with some plantings out there. I started asking a question last week, and I want to keep it going and see if it makes sense to you. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being record yields for corn and soybeans, and 10 being 2012 like conditions, what is your level of weather anxiety?
I'll answer that in its entirety. If you put an asterisk by my name, that I can make this announcement a month from now.
Sure, I'll come back and ask you again.
Well, maybe you could, but to answer your question, I think at this moment in time, with what information we have, recognizing that a lot of the planters are still sitting in the yard,
yep.
I think on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being a record yield for corn and soybeans, I would go for 2 to 3 at this moment.
Really?
And then, the ground that's been worked and the crops that have been planted look really, really good so far, but we need to get the bulk of the planting season, more underway, which will happen as soon as this next fronts go through. And beans is a little harder to call. I'd say on beans, I go to 3 to 4 on beans.
Okay. Now, why the difference? Is it because of the current stock situation?
I think basically beans are harder to look at and to judge how they're doing good. I can look at a corn plant and pretty much tell you almost precisely what the yield is going to be. But those beans, can, as you and I know over all these years of trading, it's hard to call what the, they may look awful and end up being terrific, and they may look terrific and turn out awful. How many times has that happened to you over your career?
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. Beans are ornery. There's no doubt.
Yeah, that's the perfect word. They're ornery market.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Okay, hogs. I know you follow what's going on in the hog market. The end of last week was kind of hard to watch. Then we come out of the chute strong to start this week. What do you think happens in this hog market?
Well, I think to a certain degree they're affected. The pricing is obviously reflected by the amount of cost of feed, and that's seemingly part of the reason why, from a structural standpoint, I think the hog market has held together relatively well. The end users of grains, especially the larger operations, I think they did a pretty good job of handling the inventory needs that they need for expansion and growth. And I think they're getting that. The other thing is, I think the Port Council has done a reasonably good job of promoting their products on a local and national basis, and in a certain sense, even spreading it to international. So there's a lot of media work that goes into that pork operation, but I think they've done a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. And the demand for the product that is out there is pretty remarkable. And now when we get the food service back and the restaurants opened and bacon starts showing up on everything again, that's going to have a big impact on our total movement. Back to the grain markets, Jim, corn and soybeans. Risk management, what are you talking with your clients about right now, Jim, as far as managing the risk that they've got for the 2021 crops?
Well, the first thing right off the bat, Chip, I worked on Saturday and part of Sunday and then today, of course. But the thing I really focused on those 3 days was I wanted to make it a very obviously glaring presentation that they need to watch the market very closely. But certainly, we're going to see some price swings. That's just—it's almost inevitable. But again, you've got to be patient with this market. And the big thing I did today, as I mentioned earlier, and I think this is going to be very, very important, and it is the one thing I really want to stress when I talk to my people, is have you checked these basis levels? Because these end users are covering basis situations with extremely high values that I haven't seen for quite a while.
Yeah.
So I really want them to watch the basis. If they can get some product off at a really strong basis and they want to repurchase it back, we'll find a strategy or a trade that fits that need. But get that basis, but don't let those strong basis levels get away from you.
Yeah. Well, how much selling interest are you picking up from your clients at 520 corn, Dease corn, and 1275 Nov beans? Or is there a high level of, you know what, it's time to get something done?
Well, we could answer that and be right this week and wrong next week. But I think in general, you probably could start with 20% at this level of price. You're around 519 on Dease corn now, 520, 525. 20% at that level or higher, I think would be at least worth looking at and investigating. But I don't want, this is the type of year where I don't want to get in too big of a hurry, but I want to make sure that I'm following the correct concepts that need to be made to make the right decisions. Remember, this market is different than what you and I have seen over all these years. These algorithms and logarithm setups change the structure of the market and make it more sterile. It takes the camaraderie out of it. It takes the short term, not the long term. It takes the short term analysis away from us to a certain degree. So now we have to be really sharp on a day-to-day basis with our own minds.
Gotcha. That's good counsel right there, Jim. Good stuff, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again real soon, okay?
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Everybody be safe. This is a dangerous time.
That's right. All right, Jim, thank you so much. That's Jim Bauer, Bauer Trading. Davis and I will be back to wrap things up here in a moment.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down. but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
So, Davis,
Jim,
how does your daily dose of calf perk change the whole bump or the whole lead in that you just did there?
You know, I have a craving for milk toward the end of the day. I notice
really
now is what it is: milk, cheese, yogurt. You know, and I usually have I start my day with a little yogurt, whatever. But now it's like, man, it's not. I mean, don't be giving me skim.
Right.
I got to be having vitamin D. No. It's whole milk for me now, baby.
Yeah.
Quarter of the time.
Any, you know, urge to like go around on all fours rather than standing upright?
Not necessarily, although I will say my rate of gain is phenomenal right
nice.
now.
Nice. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
A lot of math.
Let's have a conversation right now with Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. How are you, Kerry?
I'm doing fantastic, Chip. Thanks for having me again.
You betcha. Go to Artak Advisory. That's ARTACAdvisory.com. And look for the AgriTalk link at the top of the page. There is where you will find a video talking about what we're going to be talking about right now. And, Kerry, let's go ahead and jump right into it. I know that you're going to update us on corn first, right?
Yeah, I am. I also wanted to just also mention that I offer a two-week free trial, no questions asked. They can get that right on that video page that you just mentioned. So thanks for that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we're talking May corn, but, you know, wheat and soybeans have both rolled to July in recent days. Corn will roll from May to July later this week. The reason I'm telling you this is any of the numbers that I'm giving you will be inherited, if you will, by the July contract, because these are weekly continuation charts that are based on volume rollover. So talking corn, broader corn market, presently May, soon to be July, had a long-term buy signal last December above 465 and a quarter, which I'm calling our new long-term floor of support, and above which 645 even remains a long-term target that I've been mentioning later this year. But as of last Friday, when we settled the week last Friday above 579 even by that 1% margin, we closed at 585 half, I believe. That was a valid secondary buy signal. And so now I'm anticipating that 645 even level over the next 2 to 3 months or sooner, so long as we continue mustering weekly settlements at or above 579 even. I think 645 even is a realistic level that's in play over the next few months, where I might add we can top out through the rest of the year. Now, if we happen to back off, and you know, the July contract is a little lower in value than May, if we happen to back off and close the week Friday below 579 even, that would neutralize momentum a bit, upward momentum. We could then over the next few weeks fall back to 542 and three quarter, and there is the potential that, say, by the end of June, back to 507 and three quarter if we close below 579 even this week. But I'm not anticipating that. Bullish momentum is definitely intact in the back months, and I would expect higher price activity to 645 even over the next few months. On to July wheat. I'm mentioning wheat again because it's actually at a pivot point right now at 661 even. So bottom line with wheat, 603 half, well below the market, long-term support, able to contain selling through the year, and above which we should over the next 2 to 3, 3 to 5 months reach 737 half. That remains kind of a longer-term target. 661 even along the way is a pivot point. We tested it today and we backed off about 7 cents, but if we can close above 661 even, that 737 half target, which is a 2 to 3 month target essentially, is likely to be realized within about 3 to 5 weeks, where the wheat market can actually top out through summer trade. And finally, August feeder cattle. We rolled from May to August. August has inherited a significant price ceiling that is just above present price levels right now for the August contract at 154.37. We closed today at 152.77. That's a weekly channel top, 5 years long, can contain annual buying pressures. And from here, the August contract can fall back to 139.5 over the next, I don't know, couple of months, where we could bottom out through summer trade. But if August feeder cattle can close Friday above 154.37, this market sustains a bull move, in my opinion, up to 175.32 over the next 3 to 5 months. And that's a moving target, rising gradually, able to contain buying into autumn trade. It becomes a target once again if we close Friday above 154.37. Okay. And that's all I've got this week, Chip.
Okay. Hey, Kerry, so
sure.
Back to corn here real quick. The July's at 12-cent discount to the May contract. You're going through that contract change right now. How often does that contract change influence your positioning in a market?
You know, I use rollover-based signals all the time, and for whatever reason, they tend to work. So, you know, as long as there are situations, it almost happened in feeder cattle here recently when we rolled, but because feeder cattle broke south, the August contract actually wound up also opening, if you will, below that key resistance area. But had it actually rolled above it, I would be talking bullish right now, August feeder cattle. So, you know, corn is the same situation. As long as July closes Friday 579 or higher, then I think we still have a valid secondary buy signal that should play out into later spring.
Cool. Cool. Good stuff, Kerry. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, sir. You too.
You bet. That's Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Just go to artacadvisory.com, see the video, 2-week free trial. It's all right there. National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for April 25th through the 29th. Has got the below normal temperatures still expected in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Northern Iowa, Wisconsin, and over into Michigan. We've got above normal temperatures expected in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, most of Nebraska, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana. And then on the precipitation, we've got above normal precip expected over Michigan, far northern Indiana, Illinois, northeast Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and below normal precipitation expected basically in that area of above normal temperatures where, so Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, southwest Iowa, western Missouri, Arkansas, and Louisiana. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but it does feel like we are going through some sort of a transition now that we need to pay attention to. For Davis and for producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, thank you for listening today. Tomorrow morning, Wayne Cleveland, director of Texas Sorghum Growers, and Lisa Streck to talk about Bayer's carbon capture market.